May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I'd like to reflect with you this morning upon our collect for the day. The collect for the day is on your scripture handout, and there's two of them. There's a traditional and a contemporary, and I'm using the language from the contemporary. Because I saw it as a kind of formula for the Christian life. After all, that's what we're all looking for, isn't it? Some kind of formula, and if we follow that formula, all will be well. Or even better, all will be great. So today I'm going to suggest to you such a formula, because it seems as if there are prevailing questions that many of us struggle with. And for some, our presiding bishop, she sees some of those prevailing questions as the real crisis of faith and the crisis of the church today. Those prevailing questions for us as individuals might sound something like this. Does God really love me? Am I ever good enough? Will I go to heaven? Do I even believe in heaven? What do I have to do to make sure that I am one of God's chosen, who will indeed make it into this kingdom of God that is called heaven? Or what must I do to be saved? Let's take a look at this collect piece by piece, and we will find all the answers to these questions and more. The opening phrase of the collect is, Almighty God, whom truly to know is everlasting life. That's what I call the Big Bang start. Throws it right out there. Knowing God is everlasting life. If you know God, you're in. It answers all the questions. So I could just sit down and we could have a 10-minute meditation on knowing God. But there's a big problem with this phrase, isn't there? Because who can know God? I know that I cannot know God. And I haven't yet met anyone who, when they explain to me how they do know God, inspires me so much that I want to follow them or begin to believe in the way that they believe in God. But wait, there's a mediation after that opening phrase, right away in the phrases that follow. And that mediation begins with the words, grant us. In other words, please give us this gift. A grant is a free gift, right? Grant us so perfectly to know your Son, Jesus Christ. So now immediately we're invited to make a shift from knowing God to knowing Jesus. Much better, isn't it? It's a very important shift. If you ever wonder why the incarnation, why did God choose to become human, here it is. Most of us know and admit that we cannot know God. But Jesus was a human being who lived, who loved, who had a life that we can learn about and learn from. And even though we also know Jesus as divine, as the Son of God, we know him clearly as human. We know that he experienced the emotions that we have experienced, the struggles that we have, the sorrows, the joys, even the temptations that we have felt. Grant us so perfectly to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to eternal life. Okay, here's another shift. We've shifted from knowing Almighty God to knowing Jesus, and now we shift in two more levels, knowing first that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And secondly, knowing that following him leads to eternal life. Following Jesus in his way leads to eternal life. Hallelujah. This is the answer. This is the promise. This is the formula which answers every question we have about salvation, about being good enough, about whether we're in or whether we're out. Here it is. Following in Jesus' steps, or following his way, leads to eternal life. So, are you disappointed? Did you want it to be more complicated, or did you want it to be more clear? Maybe it will help if we explore what it means that Jesus is the way. What is his way? Remember, that was the first name of the Christian movement, the way. We can consider what that means by looking briefly at today's lessons, at all of them. In Acts, we hear this story, this familiar story, as another story where Jesus' way takes the former law and turns it into a new way. Quoting from the scripture, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." Now remember that the Jewish people were forbidden to eat animals with cloven hooves, and apparently they couldn't eat like lizards and snakes and things like that. I don't know all the details of it. The rabbi had to bless it, right? But now, in this vision of Peter, what God has made clean, you must not call profane. The people of God can eat anything, any creature that is on the earth. And then a second quote from this passage in Acts. "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Another new way. The baptism that Jesus offers goes beyond the river baptism that John the Baptist modeled for us, and now includes the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God with us always. Ruach, the breath of life. Jesus brings in a new way. A new way of looking at the former law of God, and a new way of God with us through our baptism. Looking at Revelation and a few verses there, quoting, "The home of God is now among mortals." This is really good news. In other words, Jesus' life on earth shows us that God made a home with us. And every person, each and every person born on earth, has this touch of God upon their lives. Hear in that the echo of our baptismal covenant that we will seek and serve Christ in all persons. Why? Because we know that God's home is here on earth and God's Spirit is with us, among us. And the Revelation passage also promises death will be no more. "See, I am making all things new." This theme of the way of Jesus being a new way emerges throughout the gospel lessons and the New Testament. "Follow me. Follow me," Jesus says, "for I am the way and the truth, and the life." And finally, in our gospel lesson, when Jesus is at table for the last time with all of his best friends, he says, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another." They already knew the Ten Commandments, right? They know them from ages past. "The new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you, so you should love one another. "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Here again is that formula, in Jesus' own words, how to follow his way, the way of Jesus, into eternal life. Love one another. Love. Last summer at the Episcopal Church's National Convention in Anaheim, the presiding bishop, Catherine Jeffress Shorey, said in her opening remarks about the church that our mission as a church, our mission is to keep traveling, bearing good news, and working to transform the world. I wonder if you hear an echo in there of the teachings of our rector here at St. Paul's, that it is the journey that is important, that it is transformation that takes place while we are on the journey. Our mission is to keep traveling, bearing good news, and working to transform the world. Excuse me. She went on to say that she sees a connection within the crisis that lives in the church today. And she wasn't speaking just of the Anglican Communion, but in all of Christianity. This crisis in the church she sees as connected to the idea that any one of us alone can be in right relationship with God. Some people do insist that salvation depends upon reciting a specific verbal formula about Jesus. And this contributes to conflict in the church because our mission is to keep traveling and bearing good news and working to transform the world. Calvary, she says, is a waypoint in God's dream, the large arc of God's dream. And Calvary is a waypoint. It's a waypoint that gets all the attention, that gets all the news, and certainly we focus on it a lot. But Calvary is not Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem that God proclaimed and Jesus taught about. Jesus' passion was for and is for God's dream of a reconciled creation. And we, you and I, are meant to be partners in building that reality throughout all of creation. This crisis of the church, this crisis of faith, is our opportunity to choose which direction we'll go and what we will build. How will we insist that this Episcopal Church in the USA will remember that God's mission is our reason to exist, and that it has most to do with loving our neighbors? End of quote. I started my reflections this morning by telling you that I will give you a formula for the Christian life. Then the presiding bishop says, these formulas are creating a lot of conflict in the church. And so I want to ask you to do one final shift. Shift about your thinking about what is a formula. Because the formula for the Christian life is not an equation with a solution. It's not a riddle where we seek and seek and seek and surprise, find the right answer. This formula is a way. It's a path. It's a new way and a new commandment. Our mission is to keep traveling and bearing the good news and working to transform the world. How do we do that? In the words of Jesus, love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And so let us learn to love well. Let us learn to love long. Let us learn to love together as we journey in faith. Amen.